Do we judge people by the fruit of their lives or not? Find out today on Dive Deep. Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're joining us today as we continue to explore the topics of Core 52. This podcast allows us to dive deep into the content from the sermon as we seek to grow together in our faith and live as disciples making disciples. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Hey, thanks, Caleb.
And, you know, I really appreciate the way that you explained the decision to accept the salvation that Jesus offers this past week. You talked about how it's a choice that we have to make, that we recognize our need for Jesus, that we see our failures and that Jesus can overcome all of them. And even better, in God's sight, he makes it as if they had never happened. But it is a point of decision, a single point, that precedes a life of decisions that continually move us in obedience towards God. And if you really accept everything Jesus is offering through salvation, there's no way that your life can remain unchanged.
Thanks, Caleb. I really thought a lot about the whole thing of Day of Atonement, and I felt like that was really an important piece for us to understand in the Old Testament so we could really grasp the significance of it in the New Testament and in our own personal lives, in our own personal Day of Atonement. And so I guess probably thinking more about our spiritual birthday, like what that means, and really even thinking about Yom Kippur in September, like that is maybe something we should think more about celebrating ourselves, like it's and give reflecting on it. It's such an incredible gift that God has given to us that no longer do we have to go through animal sacrifice that didn't really suffice the whole need, but we have Jesus that has made it possible. And so that whole life change that's come for every one of us, like each of us has a personal testimony.
Right.
Each of us has something powerful that God has done in our lives or continues to do. Because if you came to Christ as a child, like you may say, well, I don't have much of a testimony. Well, yes, you do.
Right.
You have a great testimony of how God has kept you from a lot of the things that others of us have gone through.
Sure.
And then how can we celebrate all of that? You know, there's a way to celebrate from it, and whether he's brought us out of it or he's kept us from it.
Yeah.
And I think that's just an important part of our own personal journey.
Sure. And I think the testimony of your personal Day of Atonement, so the day that you accepted salvation, you know, is very powerful for some people. But like you said, it's very quiet for others. But you can't live 20, 30, 40, or a lifetime of years without having trial or celebration that you can point to and say, God did this.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing that people get hung up on. You know, a testimony is not just that singular moment. It's so much more.
Right.
It's really how God worked in everything.
Right.
But I am curious because just briefly yesterday during the sermon, you had mentioned about how, you know, it's really not our place to judge people's, I think, growth is what you were going after. But at the same time, how do we balance that with being brothers and sisters in Christ that are spurring each other on to good works and, you know, helping others to grow? So what's the balance here?
You know, our culture has become really very intentional about this whole judge not lest you be judged and using that like as a weapon against Christianity, against our morals, our values, all of that. And you can't judge me. And the fact is that that's really kind of taken out of context if we really would try to understand the context of Scripture in whole. I mean, because it says later, you know, in the Gospels, you know, by your fruit you will be known. So there should be evidence in our lives. It's constantly giving us church discipline and instruction as to what we should be able to look for in each other's lives. I think the danger is that we have to be real cautious because we tend to just look on the surface and not really know and understand what's going on in each individual's lives. And so I think there's a danger there. And I do think God is judge, we're not. And so I think you should be cautious about that. I think I probably grew up in a kind of more of a judgmental culture and heard that a lot, that, you know, you kind of compared one to another. And if you weren't living up to somebody else's standard, then you probably weren't as spiritual.
Sure.
Real danger in all of that. Because we don't really, we can't see what's going on in the heart of a person. We can't see what's going on in the life of a person. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of people who have some really exciting ministries happening in their lives that we can't necessarily see or know or be aware of.
Right.
And so if we just kind of compare everybody to everybody, we end up short on understanding. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a whole lot more like spiritual maturity to really have a greater love and appreciation for one another and not seeing that. Now, if we're violating scripture and we're going against the word, that's a little different. In fact, we're encouraged by scripture to, you know, come to one another when those kinds of needs are present and to help and lead and guide. There's all kinds of instruction that's given to us that can be a part of that. So I think we have to be real cautious how we throw around scripture and how we take it out of context and we use it as a weapon against one another.
Right. I absolutely agree with that. I think, you know, just to sum that up, but really we should be looking on how to encourage and build each other up in a positive way. And at the same time, if we're seeing markers that someone's living a life that's contrary to what we know scripture teaches, then it's time to come in and, and again, encourage them towards that better choice, that better path. But again, we're not the ones that judge how someone's growth is going because we're so nearsighted.
Right.
We really are.
Right.
I mean, we look for change in a year when, you know, for some people it takes 10 years to get moved to where God had intended, and he had intended that speed all along, you know?
And every one of us has our own areas of growth that's needed.
Right.
We just, some are just more apparent than others.
Yeah.
So you see other people's need much more than you see your own.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, Jesus, you know, said about the speck in someone's eye and the beam in somebody else's eye. You know, the only difference between the speck and the beam, they're both made out of wood. It's just the framework and the distance of how they view them. Because if you hold the speck close to your eye, it looks like a beam. So it's just perspective. That's the only difference in all of that. And so I think it's very important for us to be able to be cautious about perspective, how we look at others and how we judge others.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we look at testimonies, it's important to understand that, again, you know, some of us have this really important day of atonement that we can reflect back on and share with others in the powerful way that God moved in our lives. But then others of us have, you know, a very subtle, sweet, and soft atonement process. And it's later in life where these really big struggles come through or these really big celebrations that we can share how God's working. And so, you know, I think each of us needs to be prepared with this tool, this testimony tool. Like you said, it's super powerful.
Absolutely.
We need to be able to share it in about 2 to 5 minutes because any longer you lose people.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so I think I would just encourage each, every one of you that's listening, whether it's with your core group next or with somebody, you just sit down to grab coffee, practice together, go through it, run through your testimony, get comfortable with sharing it.
I think what you have to do is as you said, practice and share it. It's sometimes good to write it out and to see, because when you write it out, you know what you need and what you're missing. You kind of have a grasp on that. Everyone has to have a need of why they came to Christ. So that's what we've got to identify. We have to identify a moment when we did, a need, a moment, and then a life change. So that's basically where what has to be a part of that testimony. And so as we share that, you know, then when I identify a need, I can relate to a whole lot of people.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I became aware of. And if we gave our hearts to Christ at a very young age, then helping somebody understand what God has done in your life as a result, how it continued to grow, and you became more aware of, but you knew that God could help you. And so, you know, all those pieces. So there's different ways that we would frame it based on when we started. But all of that has to come down to the same thing. Here's the life change that God brings to my life as a result.
Right. And today we actually interviewed Pastor Eddie and really heard kind of a great blend of those two sides of coming at a young age, but out of a place of need to choosing Jesus and following him. So at this time, let's listen in on that interview. Pastor Eddie, thanks for joining us on Dive Deep today.
Thanks for the invite. So I wouldn't say that I grew up in an overtly Christian family. I grew up in a very American Christian family. One of my earliest memories was my mom would actually read from a book series called Alice in Bible Land, which was pretty cool because the Bible and our faith life wasn't something that we talked a lot about at home. But I think my great-grandmother had given my mom this book set for me to read, and it was so impactful to my life that I even still have those books and read them to my daughter today. But I can remember walking to church one day, and my great-grandmother was the one that would take me to church. She went to a small Southern Baptist church, like 20 people inside of it. The pastor was unpaid and worked full-time somewhere else. One of those types of situations. And I can remember looking at the trees and nature in sunny Florida and just thinking, how in the world could you not believe that God existed? And it just seemed so real to me, so natural to me to believe that. And as I grew up and my grandmother eventually passed away, I didn't attend church a lot with my family. But this kind of vague belief in God was there. But it wasn't until someone in my sixth grade class, and I was a pretty big nerd in middle school, took an interest in me and invited me to go to their youth group, that I really found a place that showed and taught me the love of Christ. And it just really won my heart over, and I wanted to be there at every given opportunity. When my parents wouldn't take me to church, I would ride my bicycle to church. And there were people from the church that stood in and really demonstrated an authentic relationship with Christ from pretty much every relational standpoint of life. I had surrogate grandparents and surrogate parents and brothers and sisters in Christ that really taught me what it was to live a healthy life. And so I was growing and developing, but I was definitely one of the kids that you would look at and be like, we need to team up for this kid because he has no choice of, or like no chance of making it without the help of Jesus. And so somehow by God's grace, I made it through. And when I was in middle school, summer of my eighth grade year, there was a summer camp that we were all invited to, and I don't remember anything that the pastor was talking about at that camp, but I do remember one particular service when the general theme was giving God your future, and it wasn't about becoming a pastor one day. It was about if you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, like whatever it is, like give that future to God, and he's going to use it for his glory. And I felt God kind of tapping my shoulder and saying, hey, I want you to go down to the altar and give me your future. And I was nervous. My heart was beating really fast. I didn't really know what to do with that. And so I just followed with obedience, and I went down. And instead of anything that I expected, God kind of blew away all of my expectations. And I felt like he gave me a new lens to see the world through. You know, as a kid who was bullied and stuff like that, God just opened my eyes in that moment to show me that hurt people hurt people, that the people that hurt me, the people that I looked down on as less than I was, you know, unpopular or whatever, they were in just as much of a need of Jesus as I was. And so really it just radically shaped my worldview and gave me a heart to tell others about Jesus. And so from that moment on, I really felt like God didn't want me to be a pastor or a minister of the gospel one day. He wanted me to start acting on it right then. And so whether I was working or at church or with my friend group, I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And so it led me to here.
Wow, powerful stuff. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Arley.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
And thanks for investing your time with us today on CWC Dive Deep. Join us next Monday as Pastor Mike hosts Exploring the Topic of New Covenant. And if you missed past episodes, you can check those out at cwc.life, where you can catch up on our entire Core 52 series, access all the resources that you need to dive deep, and continue the discussion with your friends or your core group. Have a great week.